Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Midday Magazine for this July 13th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff here. At 3:30, we're to welcome in Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Right now in studio, we have with the production, the summer youth production. Am I getting that right, Gretchen?
Yes.
Okay. We have Gretchen Powers, director of Willy Wonka. Good morning. Good afternoon, Gretchen.
Good afternoon.
I just keep messing that up. We the audience knows we're recording in the morning, but I'm trying to get this down where I say afternoon more often, and I'm never going to get it unless I just, you know, do it more and more. So thanks for being here, Gretchen. Always good to see you. And we have with us Willy Wonka himself, Brandon Winter.
Good afternoon.
Brandon, good to see you. Thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
I am so happy to talk about this. And actually, I think that while I mucked up that beginning and that intro, and we record these things, so I really want to re-record this, we're going to keep moving forward because that's live radio and that's live theater. That's how it works. You don't get second takes. So we're just going to keep moving here. It does give us an opportunity to mention that there are two separate youth productions going on. There is Hopo Productions, and then there is the Summer Youth, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater Summer Youth Productions.
Yep, so Wisconsin Rapids Community Youth Theater, it created this two different play programs. Like, there's two shows, but they're all under the community theater, but Hopo is a separate little fast-paced workshop that my friend Stephanie and I created 11 years ago, I think. But but yeah, so this one is more intense, 6 weeks long, usually something a little bit more complex than the shows that are done. And yeah, but still both a very fun production for all the kids. And the next one that we're doing is an original play by my friend Ryan Houston, and it's called Toasted.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to having the cast on from that and talking more about it. Mm-hmm. But since we're into this, Gretchen, if you don't mind, I think it's really cool to have these different layers, these different levels of this for, you know, actors that are younger and maybe they've never been on stage before. Hopo is such a really wonderful intro to it and everything. And not to say that this isn't, but this sounds like it's a little bit more for your kids that have been on the stage a number of times already.
Not completely. Nope. Actually, I think that mine is actually geared more towards the younger children, but the nice thing is that the people that are in, like, the parts of Willy Wonka, the parents, the grandparents, they're all the seasoned actors, but then the children are getting a chance to be the stars. Like, I have 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds playing the lead children, and they're all doing fantastic. They're very hard. They have a lot of monologues and big words to memorize, and it's complicated, and it's a lot of moving pieces and stuff, but they have more time to work on it, and I think that's the big, where it hits the best. And the other one, it is geared, it's just, they're both great for youth, and you get the older kids who are going on to be great actors, and some kids who just want to do it for a fun summer thing. It's also nice. The Hopo show is less of a time commitment, so people who do sports and camps and stuff like that, who are very active and don't have time to do the full 6-week commitment, that might be better for them.
We've got a lot of kids in this area, too. It's nice to give them, you know, especially this time of year, something to do that's productive and fun, and not a lot of, I know growing up, I would have killed for something like this. They'd have been sick of me by the time I was old enough to be on the WRCT stage, because I'd have been in these shows every chance I got. It's such a cool opportunity. All of that being said, and everything you prefaced with this show, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, why this show?
Well, I wanted to do something bigger, and I'm going to just correct you one more time so that I don't, like...
Please do.
This one is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah. Why? What did I say? Willy Wonka? Did I say... Well, in my defense, you got Willy Wonka sitting in front of me here, so...
So I'm only going to just say that is because there are... It's that was the book, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And so Willy Wonka is actually what the 1973 film was done with Gene Wilder. Roald Dahl, the writer of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, hated Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
And so he didn't even want to approve the movie. That's why they had to change the name to Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
That's why I'm being picky and silly. But anyway, back to the question
the show,
that you
why
asked
the show?
Me.
Why this particular show?
So we've been doing a lot of fairy tales and, you know, like the Walking Dwarves last year and everything. And I wanted something that was like a big name. Mm-hmm. Like I've been wanting to do a children's musical for ever. And so this is kind of like a good project to start to show that maybe that someday we could handle something like a musical. And I was going through the scripts at the theater and I'm like, what could we do? What could we do? And then Charlie just like popped out on me. And it's actually kind of funny because I was going through all that and it was February 1st. And then if you read the script, the golden ticket, it says show up here on February 1st to tour the Chocolate Factory.
Right, right.
And I was like, wow, it's like,
oh,
it's meant to be.
The fates have lined you up for this. Yeah.
It's perfect. I like it, took a picture of it and I sent it to Ryan, my assistant, and he just laughed. So
that's cool. And it just tells you this was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to the show, let's touch on the details and we'll wrap up with the details as well. When are their performances?
Their performances are July 21st at 7 o'clock. That's a Friday. And then July 22nd at 2 o'clock. That's a Saturday.
It's nice to offer the matinee to listeners and to our great community that supports our theater so well. So it's nice to have that. And it's fun for the kids. I like them being able to have that experience of a night show and an afternoon show and getting that those feelings of that.
Yep, they're going to get to experience a really late show because this show is going to probably be about 2 hours long, so it'll be 9 o'clock by the time they're rolling out of the theater and still having some of their day left on Saturday to relax. And
will there be an intermission?
There is an intermission. It's 15 minutes. And we are also doing a 50-50 raffle at intermission, as well as the children are currently doing a fundraiser to try to raise money for, like, next year's costumes and everything. They're putting together raffle baskets, so there will be special raffle baskets to be raffled off.
Yeah.
So they'll be announcing winners at intermission.
We love raffles in this area. That's great. It doesn't even matter what you're giving away. Just the people hear raffle. Oh, let me be a part of that. So I'll get some tickets for that. That's awesome. And we love raffles specifically that help out local in supporting local. That's fun. That's fun.
And the really cool thing is that the parents are just ready to jump on opportunities to help out and volunteer. I had There's 50 kids in this show, 51 actually.
Yeah.
And the number of parents who have come forward and said, I can help backstage, I can help with this. And then I actually had a group of parents say, let's do a fundraiser and all this, and we'll help head it, and we'll take care of all that for you. So the parents have just been awesome. Normally, like, they're the hardest part.
Yeah. A big shout out to all of them. A big thank you to all of them for doing this and supporting not only their kids, but the theater and really local. And what we do here at this station, supporting local, all that. Brandon, time to put you on the spot. I mean, ask you questions. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Excited for the show.
Yeah.
It's looking good.
Brandon, taking on a character like Willy Wonka, no matter what age you are, that's a big kind of like thing to do, to walk into. But a lot of people, when you're going for these auditions, I think that's an outsider perspective. I think for a lot of us, when we're looking at these roles, when we're auditioning for them, we don't look at them as big, small, necessarily that. It's this spoke to me for some reason. Why did you audition for this particular role?
I auditioned for Willy Wonka because it's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love just getting the experience out, and I feel that a lot of the character, because I have some experience in acting before, and I feel like Willy Wonka is such a different character than everything else that I've ever really done.
Mm-hmm.
I love just going around and just getting the different types of characters that I could.
Mm-hmm.
And Willy Wonka is it's a silly character. He has a lot of history. It's a lot to like work off of and build up from. So I just, it's a new experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why I just picked Willy Wonka specifically.
Good enough. Good enough. Good enough reason for Gene Wilder to do it. So yeah, that's a pretty good answer, kid. That's nicely done by you. That's pretty much what Gene Wilder said about playing the part. That very nice answer. What kind of, we understand memorizing your lines, learning your blocking. What other kind of techniques or what other things did you do to get this character down?
I have a kind of, it's not really a motto. I have a strategy of just taking things piece by piece, like working on a scene until it's done and then just moving on to the next. Because I think that if you work on it all at once, then it kind of all gets mixed up. You lose it all in the shuffle. But if you take it a piece at a time and you build it up over and over and over again, then like once you get scene one done, then you never have to worry about that ever again. And then you can like look back on that and use that for the rest of your scene. So I said this line a certain way back in scene one, so I'll do something similar out in scene like three or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I feel kind of just my strategy for everything and memorization as well. Just getting the stuff out of the way and just as piecemeal as I can. Mm-hmm.
Oh, very good. That's great to hear, man. I couldn't agree with you more. I actually think that that's a really good technique approach to most things in life. It certainly works for squirrels. I mean, they can't grab all those nuts at once. They grab one at a time, and they're all set up for winter and everything. You break things down, it's simpler, and it's a lot easier to take in, and not so daunting sometimes. I think that that can be the case with a lot of actors, no matter what age you are. You get these big roles, and you're trying to take one big bite. You take these little bites, little by little, and it really all adds up anyway. It's a nice technique. I like that. That works. Also shows how much you care about this, that you want this performance to be so strong. How do you bleed that into your co-stars, to your other actors, and rise them up?
Just bringing energy into it. Mm-hmm. If you just get so excited and you're like moving around and you're pointing at things and you just inject your emotions into your just voice and performance, then you're going to get all of your other actors just up and ready for it as well.
And the Great. Kids really need that. Like, he's a leader. Like, I could just tell at his audition that he was going to help lead this show. And I'm sure he's probably not used to the little kids and everything like that. And I'm sure it's probably really annoying to him that I have to stop and start. Because there's children there. And I have to, like, and it's usually right in the middle of his monologue that I get an idea. So mm-hmm. I'm like, Brandon, I'm going to stop you there. And he leads the kids to, like, well, this is where you react by like just gesturing on stage or changing his voice. And I think it really helps the kids open up.
Without getting too into the weeds here, Gretchen, because I think it's more of a personal thing and I don't like to pry too much into that. But I do think it's interesting when it comes to casting a kids show as opposed to casting almost anything else. With this, you really do. Yeah, you want to cast the best people for the roles, but you want all these kids to get a part. You want to get everybody included. I know you well enough to know that you got one of the best hearts I know. You care about these kids and what this is going on here. So you want everybody to have a part, everybody to have a place. But you also got a job to do. And you want to make sure to give a great production. How do you balance that?
Well, and it's hard because a lot of them are everybody who was under the age of like 8. This mm-hmm. is their first show, mm-hmm. or 9 or 10. They're all underdogs. They all have never done this before. Mm-hmm. I really kind of based my audition off of how strong I feel like they were as far as confidence and willingness to try. Because mm-hmm. even if they didn't read that great, I knew that they had the will to do that. But I saw that a little bit in everyone, but some of them were just quite young and weren't quite there yet, or others were just, you know, some kids came to auditions and didn't want to read. That was flat out, and that's okay, because they don't all have to have speaking parts. And I think I've made it so that everybody has a line, even if they didn't want a line. I convinced one girl who just did not want to speak
That's cool.
to have one really hilarious line that she's excited to do now. And so it's taking the kids who've been doing it for years, and maybe they didn't get a lead part, but that's because they're needed to bring strength to the mm-hmm. Oompa Loompas or something, because they also are a very important part. And it's not like the movie with Gene Wilder where they just sing the song. They mm-hmm. actually do the poem from the book, and we do it to a rap, and it's so cool. My friend Ben Chedek, he wrote some music to put underneath it to make it a lot easier for them to rap to. And he also wrote me elevator music, and it's really funny because they're in the elevator and it's to the tune of the Oompa Loompa song.
Oh, okay.
Even though we can't use that song for the thing.
Yeah.
It's just really cheesy and it's adorable. And it made me smile so much when he brought it forth to me.
Shout out to Ben. And be sure to catch Ben in any of his 100 bands that mm-hmm. he's in. He'll be on the air with us soon, I'm sure. He always is. And Ben joins us at least a couple times a year. We love whenever he does. And that's awesome that he did that. And I'm glad you brought that up, because it speaks to so many community members giving of their time to put into this.
Yeah.
That we have every year, every show has something like this, some members like that.
Yep. And then like I've got another girl who plays one of the parents. She doesn't have a ton of lines, but she's a fantastic actress, Rose Paul. But I also know where her ability lies, and that's with dance. And so she is our choreographer for we have some kids that do some little dances in the show, and she took her time to choreograph our dances for us too. So I mean, it's like I'm taking the kids and using their strengths where they they are, and really just helping them hone their skills.
Like a great director does. What has the rehearsal process been like? How often have you guys been able to get together?
We practice Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8. This week we did something a little different where I had some small groups come in early so that they could practice some things that needed some work. The Oompa Loompas tie-dyed their shirts for their costumes, and so we had a tie-dyeing party, and then each of the kids actually got a pizza party when they practiced at their own separate group and had a lot of fun. But yeah, mostly just Monday through Thursday, 6 to 8. Next week is tech week, and so we'll likely go till 8:30 because there's things we need to scene changes, I tell you.
Yeah.
But
as a side note, we need to start doing that on the main stage productions, the tie-dye parties. We need to, for no reason, just because it seems fun. We should be doing that. Team building. That's what we'll call it, team building. Brandon, I wanted to ask you, because one of the purposes of these interviews is certainly, first and foremost, promoting WRCT, getting you guys out there and letting people know about these amazing performances and shows. But to people like Gretchen and I and a lot of us, we also know that theater is such a welcoming, open place. And we love building up young people. We love building courage and confidence in you guys. One of the things that I do on the side is teach at Second City. And every couple semesters, we have attorneys or doctors join. And they're not trying to become, you know, comedians or anything. They're trying to get, like, with the doctor that I had a couple of, probably a year ago, he wanted to get better at bedside manner. We've had attorneys who are not comfortable speaking in front of people, so they'll take our classes to be able to do that. I always love these kind of added bonuses to doing something like this. For every kid that just loves to get on that stage and perform, we like to encourage people to do these shows as well because of other reasons. Have you found that it's helped you with your confidence at all? Has it built up that at all? Have you seen it in your other co-stars, some confidence rising in that?
Oh, yeah, completely. Just going through these shows has... Even like when I just first started, it just gave me so much confidence, even in my everyday life, to just having that, just working in front of a crowd. Like, nothing seems, like, after you've performed a big scary monologue in front of a crowd of maybe 100 people, nothing else seems that scary anymore.
Right? Yeah. That's a great point. And there's so many other little things that are added that you learn and skill sets you can fine tune or even grow and get better at with when it comes to acting, when it comes to performing. And that could be behind stage, that could be on stage, it could be a bunch of lines, no lines, just one line, all of this. You can, you know, gain all of these things that Brandon's talking about through that. Just love to encourage people, everybody, young, old, everybody, to get involved with WRCT, get involved with your local community theater. It's not only a lot of fun, but you find that you grow in so much as a person with so many of these things. And you're supporting local, which is always something that most of us feel very good about doing. Gretchen, with this show in particular, how has it been different directing this one than it has been from other projects? Especially, you just got done doing a main stage production.
Right. It's a lot different than directing things like The Odd Couple. Like, you have actors who've been doing that, or even the inexperienced adult actors, they're easier to direct than children. It's not that children are that hard. It's just that they're different. They learn differently. And it's not so much about character development. It's not so much about being over dramatic or under dramatic. It's doing it. It's getting, we're not going to get Broadway, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to get really close because they are really amazing. But I focus more on what can we accomplish? How big can we make this with making, you know, not traumatizing them.
Yeah. It's always a good idea. Always a That's a good point. It's a solid point right there. I think it's interesting too to have the kids there, and so I'm watching a kids show, and I'm not just taking in the great performances and the wonderful job that these kids always do. And I've never seen a bad youth production. I've never ever seen anything like that. They always do such a great job, but in the back of my head, with the way that I watch these things and dissect everything, I'm always giving like these little shout outs and high fives to the director, because I know how hard that is and how much difficult that job is with people like me. I can't imagine with kids how it could be as far as rounding that up and everything, and to be able to put on a show, just to get those curtains open, I think is an accomplishment, let alone what the show actually is.
Yeah. And there's so many different social groups in that. You got the little 8-year-olds who are afraid to be away from their mom. You've got the 14 and 50-year-olds who probably would be rather sitting at home on their phones or whatever, but they're doing something, that's great. But it's reaching them and talking to them at their level so that they get out of it what they need to. I feel like some of these kids use it for a outlet to get rid of stress because mm-hmm. they're going through a lot. It might create more stress because there's a million people talking all at once, but they're getting fun out of it. One thing I also did was I created parts to make it so that all the kids that auditioned could be included. Mm-hmm. I had 12 8-year-olds who had never done this before who auditioned, and so I created a Candy Kid ensemble that's not in the script, and they are doing like scene change dances, and they open up the show with cute little they have one-liner words and stuff like that, but they all get to dress in a different color of the rainbow and be all sparkly and cute, and anything they do is going to be adorable no matter what level of talent they have.
Well said. And details like that are part of the reason why we love doing these interviews. See, I don't think a lot of us would have known that otherwise if you hadn't shared that with us just now. And I think that really speaks to a lot of what we're talking about here is encouraging people to take in these shows, but also encouraging them to be a part of these shows mm-hmm. and future shows, to audition, to volunteer. It speaks to everybody getting a part, but how important that is. It's not just something that directors are saying. They look at what Gretchen did to make that happen. That's impressive. That's very cool and creatively very impressive.
Yeah, not many shows are written with the idea to have as big of a cast as this, unless you're doing a big musical or something like that. I love big productions. I love lots of color.
Yeah, you do.
And we've done what we could with our budget to do a really cool set. And parents have really helped again with that. And there are those parents again.
Was It's a Wonderful Life your first show you directed?
It was my first main stage show.
Main stage show.
Actually, to be honest with you, my very first children's show I directed was in 2005 when I directed my original show that I wrote, Thumbelina, and there were 44 kids in that.
See, you only do big productions.
I don't like little.
Yeah.
I think I had a cast of 10 once, and it was fun, but I was like, where's the random crash in the middle of the scene, because we don't have that.
Right.
Not chaotic enough. Please, chaos.
I asked Brandon this, and I have the same question for you as we're wrapping up and before we get to the details of the show again. When we like to encourage people to be a part of the productions in these shows, again, everything from youth stuff to main stage to the Silver Foxes to all the great things going on with WRCT, what is some of the things that you give for encouraging people to do this, of reasons why they should?
I think that there's so many layers of what theater can give you. Confidence, you know, a creative outlet to let your own emotions out, or even just something to, like, not every kid's a soccer player, not everybody can play softball. Mm-hmm. They find their thing, and then we're not going to have great theater if we don't have in the future if we don't have children's theater. Mm-hmm. It starts young. I mean, some people start it when they're like 30 years old and do great, but you're not going to have a strong love of it if you don't start it early mm-hmm. in general. So mm-hmm. One thing I would love to do in the next couple of years is really strengthen the youth theater, get it back going, do really big things, and get kids wanting to come back every year. Mm-hmm. My first show was when I was 7 or 8 years old. I played a mouse in Cinderella with no lines, and I had loved it ever since. So, I mean, you start small and you grow, and I want those kids are going to someday be us.
Yeah. Well said. And I just got a picture in my head of you as a mouse at that age. It was great. It was awesome. Brandon, as we're wrapping up, one more important big question for you. Is there anybody you want to say hi to? I told you, it was a tough one. It's a sticker.
That
it's
a tough
question.
One. That is actually, I might not.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
I want to say hi to your mom.
Yeah.
Hi, Becky. She's awesome. She's a great artist, and she's actually doing some painting for us. Like the scene where we have to do the giant chocolate bar that goes,
the Mike TV
one. She's actually painting our giant chocolate bar for us to make it look awesome. Just like a Wonka.
I'll shout her out too.
She's a great mom, a great stage mom.
Appreciate all these parents, even the ones that haven't been able to maybe volunteer with the show are still getting their kids the rehearsals and everything, and we appreciate them doing that. And everybody a part of this production. Gretchen, as we're wrapping up, what are the details of the show? When can people see it?
We'll be performing July 21st at 7 o'clock and July 22nd at 2 o'clock, and you can get your tickets at wrctheater.org. Mm-hmm. And they're selling fast right now. And our first night's performance, there are less tickets than there are kids in the show.
Yeah. I was going to encourage. I checked it before we got here our recording, and like, yeah, those things are going quick.
Get but your tickets. But don't stop from buying them. We want you to see it. I think that the majority of the parents and grandparents have bought their tickets, so that don't feel like you have to not come because you're wanting kids to. Have their families come.
It's a good point.
It's a good time for the community theater to get or come and see us.
Get your tickets at wrctheater.org or you can get them right there at the front door when you come in. Go ahead and meet us over at the beautiful WRCT Theater for this show. You two have a good time. Break a leg. Enjoy yourselves. And please tell everybody a part of the production. We're wishing them well.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here on WFHR.